It is Monday morning. I'm Andy Bates. You're listening to His Time. Monday means it is our chance to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning, Andy, to you and your listeners.
Well, thank you.
It's kind of cloudy and cold out there, but I've already been up early like you.
It is.
It's a little switch from the weekend.
It was nice this weekend. It's cold out there. The wind is what was miserable this morning. I can take the cold. It's just when it gets windy, it's hard to breathe, hard to walk.
My wife and I last night, as I think several people were doing, more than several, watching a little bit of the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden we heard, like, what was that? And I said, well, I think it's the wind. Boy, and it just kicked up. And I went outside, and, I'm thinking, okay. Of course, our husky could care less. He just goes out, stands on the deck, and looks around like, oh, this feels pretty good today. So it's all good. You know, we're getting into this sort of off again, on again with cold, warmer weather. So we hope the good Lord decides to bring an early spring. I don't know what the groundhog thing was. My wife asked me about that, and I said, I don't know. I really don't follow groundhogs very well. So it's a tale, but it's all kind of interesting. So outside of that, I got a couple things here. A bit different than, well, it all kind of goes back to the biblical story time that we all have in front of us. I have a couple articles here, and they're both out of a journal called Science, which I read, and it is a journal that is, and myself as a scientist, to keep up on what's going on in the area of evolution and cell biology and genetics and things like that in the left-hand kingdom. You know, I read, and I know other Christian scientists read it, so you can be conversant in some of these areas. Well, this particular article and another one, there's two of them, and they both deal with parenting. And one is called Science Made Me a Better Parent. So I would like to ask your listeners this question. Are children that you have, or perhaps will have, some of your listeners may already be with child in the womb, and those who have are grandparents, nieces and nephews and so forth, do you view those children that you have and relatives that have children as a project or a baby? That's the question. And this particular article looks at the relationship of this biologist and what he's learned in biology to help him take better care of his child, which I find okay. It's pretty intriguing what he has learned from his studies as a PhD in biology, but he also tends to look at it as very mechanistic, the raising of a child. You know, he says here, quote unquote, I have found that parenthood is in many ways an extension of my biological research. And that in one sense is okay, because myself with a PhD in science, he basically concludes this, and then we'll digress a little bit here, that from his scientific background, he's learned that patience, well, this is an old Spanish quote, patience is the mother of science. And he says he understands now these concepts of patience, parenting, and science, how they become intertwined. And so he says, without a doubt, the most useful thing I've learned in the lab is the ability to cope with failure. So he talks about these various things about patience, how to deal with failure, various skills he's learned in taking care of, you know, being an exact person, changing diapers, bottle feeding, and so forth, have helped him become a better parent. And I don't doubt that's true. But my concern for this, and I suppose some people may consider this to be pretty picky, but certainly God is always teaching, and through this man's vocation, he has learned to be a better parent. And that's fine, but I would disagree with him that the child is a project, especially when he puts is how your project or baby, he says, is progressing. And I think in that context, I think we Christians would take issue biblically that a child is not a project, but a child is a blessing. And that would take us back to Genesis chapter 1, 26, 27, when God told Adam and Eve, you know, and God blessed them and God said, be fruitful and multiply. So the children are a blessing from God, and they're not a project. I suppose if we, I think you and I and other people who've gone through elementary school and high school and had science projects, they're the kind of things we put together and we hope we win. So within that context, I think that the projects, you know, looking at a child as a project is not the best way from a Christian parenting perspective to deal with raising a child in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. So I found that interesting. And there was another article that just came out, and I'll mention this briefly. And this is all about parenting. And they basically get into, which is really interesting, when you have a child, when parents are attempting, by the grace of God, to have a child, and they say everything prior to conception and during the raising of the child is very important, which we would agree with. And one of the things they found is that if parents continue to lay insults on each other, for example, how come you can't get pregnant, like the man blaming the wife or the wife blaming the man for either having low sperm or no eggs, laying insults and not working together as a community, that does impact the raising of a child when the child is conceived, so that there tends to be the blame game. And all of that has an issue with the child in the womb, as opposed to what we would suggest, of course, is to raise that child in instruction and discipline of the Lord, as Ephesians 6 says, or Deuteronomy 6, when you get up in the morning, you know, you raise your child, you talk, you do these things. They're both easy to remember, both Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 6, so that the child is raised in the instruction and discipline of the Lord prior to conception, during the development, and thereafter. So these are two articles, I think, that are quite important and kind of remind us of what parenting is all about in terms of the environment, the Christian environment we raise in, keeping family connected and conversational in Christ.
When we make a person into a project, we dehumanize them, don't we?
Oh, boy, that's a very good... Yeah. I think... I don't know if you recall this Dorito...
the Dorito commercial?
Yeah, with the baby.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? The pro-abortion people have come out. I don't know if you've heard this already.
I saw a little bit this morning.
Uh-huh. Pardon me?
I saw a little bit on social media this morning.
Yeah, they said that this is dehumanized the fetus, quote unquote.
Or that they're humanizing the fetus.
Yeah, they're dehumanizing it.
or humanizing it, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So that, you know, that this isn't a human. And one of the announcers on Fox News this morning said, wait a minute now, my understanding is that fetus, which is a Latin term, meaning offspring, which is a term that Martin Luther uses in Volume 4 when he's talking about Abraham, Hagar, and Sarah. And he actually talks about abortion in that volume. And it's an okay term when it's understood correctly, of course. And this, I think his name's Ducey, I can't recall his first name, he said, but the baby is a human. So I think all of these things put together always reflect this back to what does it mean to be a parent in terms of being connected with each other, even if you're a single parent, even if you have a child out of wedlock. You know, this is still a child that needs to be connected to the family of God through water, word, and faith as well. So this just isn't an isolated incident that this man, when you talk about a child as a project, you're right, it dehumanizes this child. There's no doubt that you and I have learned some things about our vocations and how we apply them in parenting. Mm-hmm. Because he says, you know, this takes a lot of time, you know. He said, I've learned that, you know, my work, my vocation has taken me away from my family, and that's not good. And I agree with that. And we all kind of struggle with that because it's there's nothing better than a child when you go home and they smile at you and they want to be fed and have their diaper changed. It can bring a smile to your face if you've had a really a tough day. I find that God made them a great silent counselor for parents and the grandparents and nieces and nephews and so forth. So I think that these articles in and of themselves hopefully will bring some attention to biblical parenting, the whole issue of keeping the family connected in Christ, and that we are a community, and that community just isn't within the mother, father, child, but it also goes to the extended to the church.
Any other, were there, I know that that one ad from the Super Bowl has certainly raised some attention on social media. Did you catch any of the other ads that caught your attention on the Super Bowl?
Well, yeah, that one with the monkey baby.
What was it, puppy monkey baby?
Puppy monkey baby, and I'm thinking to myself, once again, I mean, I know this is some people that are sort of maybe trying to dig a little bit into evolution, but I mean, I just didn't find that one particularly entertaining myself. I thought that it was a bit overdone and not terribly useful from my viewpoint, but I thought the one with the dachshunds with the hot dogs and so forth was kind of cute and attractive.
I missed that one. I saw the one with the puppy monkey baby.
Yeah, that one I apparently just received some interesting comments from people. I didn't quite understand it about Mountain Dew. I don't drink it. It's, to be quite frank, from a scientific viewpoint, it's the worst kind of soda to have because of it's so acidic to the teeth. But I know we didn't want to have that talking about on the program. A lot of people might like Mountain Dew. I mean, I've had it too. So, but beyond that, I think that you know, those commercials are what they are, and what was it, $4.5 million for 30 seconds, something like that, and a ticket to the Super Bowl was what, $4,300 average, and you know, hot dogs were what, $11 and things like that. So we get into, I know this sounds typical of a pastor, but then you get into biblical stewardship and what are your priorities in life. And I think that as we continue to move through our life and with all of the, as you have, I mean, you're on top of the social media stuff and the struggles that families have these days, like Jan says, boy, we're watching this game for nothing here, and had a couple bratwursts with our dog. So it's kind of all good how God continues to teach us through all of the different things that go on in our life around us.
Indeed. I read an interesting article this morning, well, as well, about the tax that the athletes pay. You know, obviously they make a just, you know, unreal amount of money in games like the Super Bowl, but the tax that they pay on it is I don't know. I'd have to read more on it and find out a little bit more about the history. But it was pretty crazy reading the amount of tax. It was like 198%, basically, that one player would be paying.
And, oh yeah, they make a lot of money and they pay a lot of money into the system, but it doesn't seem to impact them too much. Obviously, I had a son-in-law who's an engineer and he worked out in Nashville. He's now the drummer for this band called Big Daddy Weave, which we've talked about a little bit. And when he was doing engineering work and installing sound systems for these football players in Nashville, the Nashville Titans, I mean, these houses are like, you know, we think, you know, 2,500 square feet is a big house, at least for somebody like you and me. But he's dealing with 10,000 square feet for a family of two people, sometimes 15,000 square feet, and sound systems that you find in theaters, you know. And you know, one window he was in there, and it costs, one window they put up in this one football player's house was $10,000 just for a window. So they have all these wonderful blessings from God, and we hope and pray that they're all used to His glory. And the same thing with parenting that we've talked a little bit about this morning.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. I always enjoy our Monday conversations, and pray that you have a good week and a blessing. And what class are you teaching this quarter?
Well, I'm going to be teaching genetic science and Christian perspective and pastoral theology.
Well, blessings on that class and for your students. Thanks for our Monday morning chat.
And to you and your listeners. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye now. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today we'll study with Pastor Bert Miller from Fayette, Iowa. Hope you can join us. Westgate and Fayette, Iowa. Hope you can join us for that as we take a look at John chapter 2 in verses 13 through 25. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.